This is TWiT.
I'm fascinated by this story, and I'd love to kick things off kind of, you know, one of the things that comes up with these reportedly, allegedly, et cetera, reports is sort of what the sourcing is. So can we start there? Obviously, you know, I don't mean naming direct sources. I just mean who generally did you speak to about this that gave you this information about Apple dropping plans for encrypted backups?
Sure. So, you know, I worked on the story for quite a while, and I was fairly explicit about my sourcing and about what I did know and what I didn't know in the piece, which ran on Reuters earlier this week. But the short answer is I spoke to one current and three former FBI, senior FBI people who are familiar with what happened, and one former and one current Apple person familiar with what happened. And then there's sort of backup from a seventh person, another former Apple employee who was told, you know, in the same time frame that legal had killed the project, but wasn't told that followed an FBI meeting. So it adds backup, but is not one of the direct people who said, you know, the six people agreed that the timeline was Apple had this plan under a couple of different keywords to encrypt, or at least offer the option to fully encrypt everything in iCloud backup. The FBI said, this is going to kill us. It's going to really hurt our investigations. And then Apple dropped it. So we have six people agreeing on that sequence of events. But to be honest, I didn't have, there was nobody who was in the room who said it was because of the FBI's objection that they did it. Some people on the FBI side and some people on the Apple side say, well, that is, you know, that is the only logical explanation, but I don't have proof of that, and I said so.
Yeah, so understood. I'm glad that we, you know, like I said, I think that that's an important point to get out there, that we know exactly sort of where the sourcing is coming from and how this works. So iCloud backup is a service in which the things on your device, your what apps you've downloaded, not necessarily the apps themselves, some of the information, your photos, your messages, your health information, these different things get uploaded to Apple's servers and stored there so that when you get a new device, you can essentially set up your phone as if it were like the old phone. That kind of works between devices too. You can use an iPhone backup for a new iPad in certain ways. It brings some of that information over. And we have seen in the past that Apple, when asked for help decrypting devices, they say, well, we can't do that because we don't have the keys to it. However, we can give you decrypted iCloud backups because we do have the keys to that. So can you talk about sort of what is the actual plan that was dropped here? If Apple does end-to-end encryption of the device, what is the difference here in the encryption that's taking place?
Well, what they could have done was entangle the encryption that's on their servers with the user's passcode to open their device, but they didn't. Google's Android offers a backup that is related to the access to the device. So Google actually does offer end-to-end encrypted storage. Apple was going to do something like that, and they decided not to, and instead, you know, and I think people don't realize. So given the reaction to my story mm-hmm. and a lot of the questions that people were throwing out there on Twitter, the language on Apple's website is very dense and mm-hmm. it's confusing. And they talk about, well, yeah, it's encrypted, and then certain things are end-to-end encrypted for sensitive information. But the sensitive information they're talking about is health stuff, mm-hmm. a home kit, which is used for home electronics controls, and like, Wi-Fi passwords and the like. Those are specially encrypted, and Apple can't see it, and therefore the feds can't see it. In law enforcement in other countries. But you would think that, like, iMessages are pretty dang sensitive, and contact lists and WhatsApp messages. But all those, if you use iCloud backup, and, you know, you don't toggle the, you know, the which app you're doing it for, those get stored in plain text. So, you know, yeah, your iMessages are end-to-end encrypted, but you're holding one of those ends. And if you're backing, it's backing up what you see, not what the encrypted version is. So that's all accessible to the feds.
Right. Now, one of the things that I think is an important question here is, what was the reason, in talking to the different sources that you spoke to, what was the reason given for why Apple chose to drop the plans to completely encrypt the iCloud backups where they didn't have a key?
So the FBI believes, people high up in the FBI believe that it's because it's so valuable for law enforcement. It's kind of been one of these open secrets in law enforcement that, crooks with iPhones think they're being pretty clever, but a lot of crooks are dumb, and they don't read the fine print and they back things up. And it's super, super valuable. So in thousands of cases every year, it's in Apple's transparency report. They hand over content from which could include full iCloud backups, or it might just be contacts or photos or something more specific that's asked for in the warrant. But it's especially true in intelligence cases. So in the most recently reported 6-month period, in 18,000 accounts, content was handed over for the FISA court, FISA court demand, where they don't have to have probable cause. It has to be relevant for a spy investigation. Thresholds vary, but it's like it's a low standard. And that's a lot of accounts getting turned over. And so they made the case to Apple that it would really hurt those investigations, and do they want to harbor criminals? So that's the law enforcement side. On the Apple side, I think the feeling was that San Bernardino public opinion was with Apple, but not by a lot. And I'm talking here about the FBI, the court case, the fight over whether Apple could be compelled to decrypt the terrorist shooter's phone. Which is something that's playing out again in Pensacola with the Saudi Arabian national accused of killing three people, and phones that are unbreakable, or in theory unbreakable. So Apple took some lumps for protecting a terrorist. That's not a place you want to be in. And some of the people within Apple felt like they didn't want to go through that ringer again. It wasn't worth it. It depends what your moral logical gymnastics are. you can say that, well, hey, we are protecting privacy. If you're not smart enough to read, the fine print in the privacy policy, then, that's not where we don't have to do that for you. That's on you. We will make it possible for you to have a secure information. We're just not going to make it super easy.
Understood. Now, Apple is always, or in these cases, has kind of always been in the news. It's been this Apple versus FBI, Apple versus FBI. But they're not the only iOS, or they're not the only mobile operating system maker. I'm curious, what is a company like Google doing in this space? Are they looking at, when backups go up, is it the same kind of encryption? What's that look like?
Okay, so I want to preface this part by saying that one of the things, I think the Apple story that I wrote is interesting on its face, but I also think it's a really good example of something that is pretty widespread, but that nobody has an incentive to talk about, and therefore it stays mysterious or a little understood, which is that there's a lot of cooperation between tech companies and the government, but in a lot of different ways. So a classic way that happens is, a given Fed or local police department say, hey, we got somebody who's missing. We're trying to find them. Can you tell us where they last were? And the company says, no, but you could ask for this sort of thing. And they explain how to ask. And then the cops say, okay, thanks. And they ask the right way. And then they get something that's very useful. That sort of thing and sort of more sweeping things happen a lot. Because most people who work at tech companies don't want to, want to be helpful, want to help customers who may be missing or in danger or victims of fraud. Most people in government don't want to tell software companies how to run their business. It's just that the public rhetoric and the court fight is this pitched battle stuff where the tech companies complain about backdoors, you know, they're trying to force back doors on everybody. And the feds complain about going dark. And, you know, today it's terrorists. A couple weeks ago it was child sex predators, whatever. They want access to everything. So those are the two sides that are arguing. But, like, behind the scenes, there's actually a lot of wheeling and dealing. And this just happens to be the best case that I've found of a compromise like that, where, again, like, nobody has an incentive to talk about it because the feds don't want to, you know, the companies don't want to say, hey, we protect your privacy except when we don't want to. And the feds don't want to punish those companies in the public sphere for actually playing ball. They want to say, hey, look, you know, Apple is helpful. So that's why these things rarely get out. Now, to answer your question about Google, Google, as I said, does offer fully encrypted Android backups. They don't talk a lot about it. They put out a blog post in October 2018 when they announced it. And, you know, again, it's like you have to be on, you know, it was the Pi version of Android. You know, your carrier has to offer that, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's not, it hasn't sunken in with everybody yet. I believe it is the most popular installed version of Android right now, but I don't think it's over 50% yet. But it's, that's not a complete lifesaver if you care about security and you happen to be using an Android, because it doesn't protect you on, say, Gmail or other major Google services. Those are not end-to-end encrypted, and those feds or whomever can get directly from Google. It's just the phone itself. So there are some things on your phone that you know previously were backed up to the cloud that the feds could get, but if you take, you know, if you do this, then they can't get that. So that is possible. It will not protect your Gmail, Gmail contacts, other things like that.